Amen. Beautiful music this morning. That was fantastic. Thank you, Bethany, praise team, Joanna, Russ, everybody. Fantastic. Leslie on the piano. Love that song. Fantastic. Again, it's great to be here this morning. I told you about the concerts this afternoon at 2 and 4, but last night there was another concert in the church. About 8 o'clock last evening, Joanna and I were here, and she was practicing her violin for today. And I looked behind me and I saw the platform set up so beautifully, so I decided to put my place into the choir. And so last night, the sound of angels filled the sanctuary as I sang Christmas carols from the platforms, and Joanna finally said, "That's enough, let's go home." So it was over that quickly, but we laughed about it all evening. It was my chance to finally sing in a choir, but nobody was here to witness what was going on. As we continue to turn our minds and hearts towards the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we're reminded of all the Scripture says concerning Christ. This is one of the greatest events, or the greatest event, that has ever taken place in the history of man. The Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. With no incarnation, we have no cross, we have no resurrection, and we have no salvation other than what God was doing in redeeming man from their sinful condition. This is not just a time of year where we are doing different things and it's such a busy time of year, but truly our hearts and minds must be focused on the real reason for why we celebrate, which is the birth of Christ. And whether you agree that it's on December 25th or another day of the week, that is a moot point. We are celebrating his birth. Whenever you believe, or however you believe, that is, we celebrate the birth of Christ for what he has done. So today we're going to look at Scripture and see the answers of Christ for why he came. We can look at other portions of Scripture and we can realize that in Genesis 3:15 there was a promise of a Messiah. The promise that God, as soon as man sinned, that God promised a Savior through the seed of a woman. One of the first promises, if not the first promises recorded in Scripture, was the promise of Christ coming. There's a scarlet thread that many people talk about and write about that flows through all of Scripture, where Christ is pictured or seen or directly prophesied about from Genesis all the way to Revelation. We see Christ as seen and pictured because this was the plan of God to provide salvation for man as sin has now entered into the world. John the Baptist, when he sees Christ, he makes a proclamation, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." When the angels are making their announcements, they begin to say, "They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Announcement after announcement, Isaiah writes concerning Christ, and we'll read one of those verses at the closing of today's service, that Isaiah writes concerning him and what he would do. Micah prophesies his birthplace. Zechariah 9 tells you he would ride into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. On and on we have concerning his work, his life, his suffering, his death, and his work. But if you take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of John, chapter number 18. John chapter number 18, we see many prophecies concerning Christ. We see the angels' words of Christ. We see John the Baptist's words of Christ. And we even this morning look at the Apostle Paul and what he says about Christ. But here in John 18 and a few other passages this morning, we're going to see what Christ proclaims his purpose to be. John 18 and verse number 37. You say, "Josh, this is a long way from the birth." All right, you understand that the birth of Christ is recorded early in the Gospels, and by John 18, we're talking about his crucifixion. And if you start in verse number 37, you'll even see that it's Pilate. Say, "Josh, we can talk about that later. This is Christmas time. We're talking about the birth of Christ." But what I want to pay attention to is Christ's response to Pilate. And it says in verse number 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And then, verse 37, Jesus answered. He says this, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end, that he is going to reveal or show, not just in this passage, but in others also, but he makes a declaration for why he came. And he will in other verses as well. Thou sayest I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. And then he says this, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is born of truth heareth my voice. Jesus stands before Pilate, falsely accused, of course, and facing death. And Pilate asked him in this moment a defining question. Jesus answered with clarity and purpose. He came to the world for this purpose. Yes, he is a king, and we could discuss those things, but he also says he came into the world at the end of verse number 37, that I should bear witness of the truth. This agrees with the book of Hebrews, where the author says that God, who in sundry times and diverse manners, and then he continues by saying, hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son. Jesus came to reveal truth, to show truth, not only who God was, but who man is. That's why in John 14, 6, Jesus, in response to Thomas, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thomas had asked him about the place he had gone to prepare, and Thomas says, how do we know how to get there? And Jesus responds by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In a world, even in that day, that was confused by lies and darkness and shifting morals, Jesus is born to make God known and to make man known. And in him is truth, in Christ, the truth concerning mankind, the truth concerning the heart and the redemptive plan of God. Take your Bibles now and go back a few pages to the book of John. Jesus, he says, I am come to make a declaration of truth. In John chapter 10 now, in verse number 10, once again, Jesus speaking. And again, we're looking at this question, what did Jesus say? We heard what John said. We've heard what the angel said. We've written and read of some of the prophets. But Jesus says, the thief, words are in red, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Let me just park here for just one brief moment. Outside of Christ, that is what we have. A thief, he says. Wickedness. Sin. Sin does these things in verse number 10. It kills, steals, and destroys. I've said this many times, but since you asked this morning, sin is not your friend. Sin does not help you, it does not lead you in the right direction, and ultimately it causes death. But Jesus says, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But then he says this, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth life, give his life for the sheep. Jesus says, I am come to reveal the truth to mankind. And here he says in verse number 10, the thief seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus has come as the giver of life. He is uniquely qualified as the giver of life because he is God in the flesh. He is eternal. The decision you make concerning Christ will impact all eternity. You will either know him as your Savior or you will know him as your judge. You either accept his payment for sin, for what he has done, or you will be separated from God forever. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life. I am come that they might have life. And what kind of life is this? He says in John 17, in verse number 3, he says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus has come to give eternal life to those that put their faith and trust in him and his work for their sin. So John 10, Jesus speaking, he says it's eternal life from John 17. The thief steals and destroys and kills, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it, what? More abundantly. My friend, listen. Let me get your attention for just a moment. There's a saying, I don't know if people still say this, but in the 90s at least, of course I was very old in the 90s, 18 or so in 1998, but in the 90s, people would have had this saying. They would say, this is the life, they would say. And they would correspond that with something fun they were doing. This is the life, man, they would say. This is the life, or whatever it may be. Let me tell you something. True life is found in Christ. True joy is found in him. You have not lived life if you are living life outside of a relationship with your Creator through Jesus Christ. Christ came to restore that which is broken. If you do not know Christ, you are serving the thief, the robber, the one that destroys, who wants nothing good for you. The Bible says Christ came to give life and to give life more abundantly. And that is in his words. I came to reveal the truth. I came to give life. And then he even says in verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Christ came to give his life for mankind because of our sinful condition. Take your Bibles and now go to the book of John once again in chapter number 12. Chapter 12 and verse number 46. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll find the words are in red once again. Jesus came to reveal truth. Jesus came to give his life and to give life and to give it more abundantly. He came to give his life for mankind. And then he says in verse 46, chapter 12, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus came as the light. In the scriptures, darkness is typically a symbolism of sin and separation from God. But Jesus came to shine light in the darkness, to shine light in the disobedience and the rebellion and the rejection of God. Jesus came as that light, as he says in verse number 46, to come into the world. Notice where the light came from. It comes from God. This was his plan. This was his desire to reveal these things to mankind. Jesus came, as he says in verse number 46, I have come to be a light in the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Deliverance from sin and deliverance from rebellion from God. Now go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 9. The book of Matthew, chapter number 9, and verse number 13. The book of Matthew, chapter number 9, and verse number 13. He says this, verse 13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth, he says, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice, he says, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He says, I have come to call sinners to repentance. Friend, I know we live in a world that does not acknowledge sin. I know we live in a world where anything is accepted and that life goes on as normal, but that does not change what sin is or what sin is in the mind of God. We need a Savior more than anything. If we would have needed anything else, that's what God would have provided. But our greatest need was our sins and our separation from God because of our sin. And so Christ says, I have come to call sinners to repentance. That's the heart of God, is for mankind to come back to him through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul echoes this in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. The Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus, he says, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Luke 19 and verse number 10 says, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Without Christ, we are lost, we are hopeless, and we are desperate. But Christ came to provide forgiveness. Do you realize, because of Christ, just imagine this for a moment in your minds. Because of Christ, we will spend all eternity in heaven. Because of Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. Because of what God has done, we have a righteous standing before Him because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your Savior? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? He came for you. It's amazing how quick we are to run from God when He is looking for us. Remember in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve had sinned, they ran and hid from God. And still society today is still running and seeking to hide from God. And God has sent His Son to forgive you of your sins and to be your Savior. And yet we run away in not trusting in Him. But I would say this today, He's looking for you. He's seeking you. He's working in your life that you would have a knowledge of the Savior, that you would be saved, and you would have eternal life. The option B is hell. The Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Christ came to deliver us from our sin. Christ came to give us life. So He says, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the Apostle Paul says, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and who I'm chief. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. As I mentioned, John 10 said, He came to give light. John 12, 46 agrees that He came to give light to the dark world. Go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 8. I know we're going to all kinds of passages this morning, but what God says is far more important than my opinion. The book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 8, I read this a little bit last week after the children's play, but He says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 8, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, okay, He says this, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Christ came, He says, the devil, He says, he committed sin from the beginning. He is a sinner. He's rebelling against God from the beginning. And He says, for this purpose, the Son of Man came, was manifested, that He would destroy the works of the devil. How far can sin take you? Sin takes you as far as the grave. That's it, to death. That's why Christ was crucified, buried, but He rose again on the third day to show He had power over sin and ultimately demonstrating power over the devil himself. And He destroys the works of the devil. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to give light. He came to seek and to save. He came to reveal truth. He came to give life abundantly to mankind. Not only that, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15 that we already read a little bit. He came to bring salvation, but He also came and fulfilled the law according to the book of Matthew. He fulfilled what we couldn't fulfill. He's the second Adam. The first Adam disobeyed, the second did not. The first Adam sinned, the second did not. The first was subject to death. The second one was subject to death and then rose from the dead. And then take your Bibles and go to the book of Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28. Matthew 20 and verse number 28. The Bible says this, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And then He says, and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ came to give His life for you. He came to give His life a ransom for many. A story that I've told, and I know in the children's club, and maybe I've told it here, it's a story about a father that was in charge of operating a train trestle. And this father that would go every day and he would raise the bridge for the train to cross over. And he would lower the bridge for the train to cross over. And he would raise the bridge for a boat to go underneath the train trestle. One particular day, the father on a Saturday was going to work, and his son asked to go to work with him. The father said, okay, you can come with me, but you're not allowed to play with any of the mechanical things. You can't get near the gears. You can't do any of this. The son said, okay, that's fine. The father was going about his day. He was working there, and all of a sudden he heard a train whistle, and it was a train coming down the track ahead of schedule. That would have been fine, except for the fact that the boat that he had raised the bridge for was not cleared yet. And the father knew that he was going to have to lower the bridge immediately in order for the train to cross by and not kill everybody on the train. So the father in the mechanical house there was waiting to pull the lever in order to lower the bridge so the train could cross safely. He was watching with intent and watching and watching. And at the exact moment, the boat went under and the father was about to pull the lever to lower the train trestle. When he looked and saw his son playing in where he told him not to play, he was in the gears. He was in the mechanical operation of the bridge. The father had a split-second decision to make. I pull the lever, kill my son, and everybody on the train lives. Or I do not pull the lever, save my son, and everybody on the train dies. In that moment, the father pulled the lever, lowered the bridge, killing his son. The bridge lowered, and the train went by. And the father went to the edge of the river up to the bank, and he saw the people in the train cars as they went by. They were sipping their tea and drinking their coffee and having conversation. And he yelled this to the train passengers as they went by. He said, "Do you have any idea what I've just done for you?" And they just went on with their life. He yelled again, "I gave my son for you." And they just drove on by on their train. I wonder if the Father in heaven does not think the same of us at times. I sent him to this world to die for you. I sent him as a light to darkness. I crucified him. Isaiah says, if it pleased the Father to bruise him. And yet here we are going about our life as though we need no Savior, as though hell does not exist and heaven is not eternal. We live our life, and I wonder if the Father looks upon the earth and says, "Do you not know what I have done for you? I have written of this all through my scriptures. I have prophesied this event, and he has come, he has died, he has risen from the dead, and he provides life to all that will call upon him for salvation." Don't be as the passengers in the train that had no idea what the Father had done. Christ came for our sins. He came to provide forgiveness for mankind. He came that we could have eternal life. You say, "Josh, no big deal." No big deal. We live every day by second, minute, hour, day, month, year, decade, century, on and on we go. Eternity has no time. You have one choice, one moment on this earth for the amount of years that you have to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you die without Him, there is no second chance. There is no other opportunity. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. Say, "Josh, that's kind of rough to mention hell around Christmas time." My friend, what kind of preacher would I be if I did not tell you the truth? The truth of what God has written in His Word is that Christ and forgiveness of sin is found in Him, and we must put our faith and trust in Him to be in heaven. Not baptism, not works, not church membership, not keeping of a law, but through Christ alone for salvation. Jesus Christ came to give His life a ransom for many. He came to reveal the truth. He came as a light to the world. The thief kills, steals, and destroys, but Jesus Christ gives life, an abundant life. He gives salvation to all men that trust in Him. Joanna and Bethany are going to come at this time. Let's bow our heads together. Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? We celebrate His birth, but He was here for a reason. He came to die. He came to give his life for mankind. Do you know Christ? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you asked Him to forgive you of your sins and to be your Savior? I pray that if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, that today would be the day. You would call upon Him, Christ, save me from my sins. Forgive me for my disobedience and be my Savior. Maybe you're here today and you're distracted and you've got all these things going on. Do we need to bring our thoughts and minds back to why Christ came? That He came to give us life. He came to reveal the truth. He came to restore our broken relationship with God. Take a moment in your seats there and speak to the Lord today. If you've never trusted Him, you can call upon Him right now. You can ask Him to be your Savior right now. Maybe you're away from God. Maybe you've been saved, but you've not been living for God. Maybe now's the day to say, Lord, help me to live for You again. Forgive me for going away from You all these years or these months. And Lord, may my thoughts and my mind be directed towards You once again. Amen. Thank you, Joanna and Bethany. If you've never trusted Christ to be your Savior, I pray that you will. I pray that you will have eternal life and that you will have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I'm aware that this is a busy time of year, way too busy. But may our hearts and minds be directed to what we're really doing. This is about Christ. We celebrate His birth. We celebrate what He has done for mankind in bringing salvation to a sinful, dark, and rebellious world. Let's stand to our feet for just a moment. Monty's going to put our final verse on the board. Isaiah 53 in verse number 5. I'll have to turn this way. Well, there it is. All right. Let's read this together. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53, 5. Father, we thank You for Your truth. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Jesus Christ, the Savior of man. Thank You for this marvelous plan that You have done for mankind. Thank You for showing us Your truth. Thank You for giving us Your word. We ask, God, if there be anyone here that does not know Christ, that they would come to You by faith. Lord, for those of us that do, may our hearts be strengthened and drawn towards You. And may, Lord, we focus upon the greatness of the work of our Savior, Jesus Christ, each and every day. We thank You for our church. We pray for Delano that will have surgery this week, for others as well. Help each and one of them. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Pray for the choir this afternoon, that it would go well and that You would be with all the parts and all the things that need to be done. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, Your grace, and Your love. Thank You for Jesus. In His name we ask these things. Amen.